Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right.
Hello. Welcome to Too Much Money, the podcast that asks, does being a billionaire make you crazy, or do you need to be crazy to be a billionaire? I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Joe Piazza.
We are your hosts.
But we are not billionaires.
Still not billionaires. Not even, I mean, Joe, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm also not a millionaire.
No, not a millionaire either. Yeah. No. But I do want to say a really bright spot in my week this week. I'm going to end up clearing my throat a lot, but I'll get it out later. A really bright spot in my week is that we got a listener email from someone who said that, yes, I should go try to get my pilot's license, which we talked about during our last episode. And they were so encouraging and supporting that I signed up for something called a Discover flight, which is $200, and you go up in a plane and decide if getting a pilot's license is right for you.
I loved that. First of all, I love that, like, our listeners took this very, like, they took it seriously, right?
Yes.
Like, they emailed you with, like, concrete steps.
There were concrete steps to me becoming a pilot. And, like, not just concrete steps, but, like, hey, here's your starter step. Like, here's the first thing you do. And it's not that hard. And it's expensive, but also not crazy expensive. So it's a thing I can definitely do, and I'm gonna do it. I'm doing it.
Should I read this email?
Please do.
Okay. So this is from our listener Andy, who said, on your latest episode about airlines, Joe mentioned that you were interested in becoming a pilot. I got my pilot's license a few years ago and would encourage you to go for it. Yes, it takes time and money, but not as much as you might think. You'll need a minimum of 40 hours of flight time, but more realistically, 50 to 60 hours, around 35 to 40 hours of ground school, plus time for studying on your own. Total cost depends on several factors, including exactly what type of plane you fly and where. LA is more expensive than Seattle. But you know what? I bet Philly is cheaper.
I feel like Philly might be cheaper. Totally. Yeah.
And how quickly you learn, but is likely around $10,000 to $15,000. With this license, you won't be flying a 737, which I know is your dream, Joe, but you'll be able to fly a small plane like a Cessna 172 only in good weather and take a friend or two up with you. Or if you just want to say you've done it, search for a Discovery flight in your area. For around $200, you'll get a first lesson. The instructor will do the taxi and takeoff, but once airborne, you'll fly. Then the instructor will land. It's a great way to get started and see if being a pilot might be for you.
Right.
P.S. If you're out, and Andy offers that if you're ever in Seattle, he will take you up. So
totally. I can't believe I was just in Seattle and missed Andy, but I love this and I love our listeners. So I want to remind everyone to reach out because we're reading all of these emails and it is clearly impacting our lives.
Yes. Well, and also just one more, and then we will get to what we're talking about today. But another listener wrote in with a tip for Nick, your husband.
Yes, which Nick also took very seriously.
So our listener Haley says that they work for Southwest Airlines and suggested that Nick start using a service to track his flights instead of a spreadsheet. There is one called My Flight Diary, which is my.flightradar24.com, which she and her husband, who also works at Southwest, that's how they track their flights and the flights of their daughters.
Yeah.
And she also recommended an app called Flighty that she knows a lot of people use.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, this is gold. Okay. Our email inbox is a goldmine. Nick is using both of those things now.
Oh my God.
I'm about to become a pilot. You know, our lives are changing because of this podcast story.
So many lives changing.
I don't know if any of the information included today in today's episode will change our lives, but it might.
It might. You never know. Or you know what? If it doesn't change our lives, it might change someone else's life.
It might. Now, I didn't tell you ahead of time.
No, you didn't.
What we're talking about today. We are going to be talking about what I think might be the worst party of all time.
Oh my God. What is it?
Well, let me set the scene first, okay?
Okay.
Do you watch The Gilded Age?
No.
You know, The Gilded Age on HBO is kind of my guilty pleasure. It is. Okay. Because I
tried watching the pilot and was just sort of like, eh. But so many people I know, including you, watch it and love it. So I'm thinking maybe I need to just give it another shot.
You know, it's one of those things you can watch with like half an eye open while doing your taxes.
Oh, yes.
It's tax season, guys. So, you know, if you need something to watch while you're taxing, this is a good one. I only got in, I don't know if I would have stuck with it after the pilot, but I watched like the first 3 or 4 episodes on a plane.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then once you're that deep, you're like, I might as well keep going. But I like it. I enjoy it. I will watch Christine Baranski read a phone book. I adore her.
She is delightful.
She's a national treasure. Okay.
Yes.
So just clearing my throat again. So The Gilded Age it's an American historical drama. It's created by the same guy that did Downton Abbey. So it's very Downton Abbey-esque, but set during the Gilded Age, which are the boom years of the 1880s in New York City. You know, think Edith Wharton, all of the robber barons, the new money versus the old money.
Yes.
And so I've been very into the Gilded Age lately, the real Gilded Age and the TV show. And so and that is how I discovered the story that we're going to talk about today, about the worst party of all time.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm all ears. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. As well you should be. As well you should be. Now, the man who threw the worst party of all time was a very rich millionaire named C.K.G. Billings. That's 3 initials, friends.
C.K.G. Billings. Okay.
C.K.G. Billings.
Billings. Okay.
Billings. Do you want to hear about how he became rich? Because we like to talk about how people make their money.
Oh, yes. I'm always curious. Okay.
He was the retired president of the People's Gas Company of Chicago, which, you know, one of the first utilities in the country. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. And so he was a Midwesterner. But he moved out east to New York because he liked horse racing and he wanted to be close to the Harlem River Speedway, which was once operating around Harlem River Drive in Manhattan.
Sure. Yeah.
So in 1901, now remember, the Gilded Age is from about the 1880s to 1901, 1902. So this is the tail end of the Gilded Age. It's when the money is really reaching its peak. The grand estates are reaching their peak. And people were throwing insane parties. I mean, it is just like they might as well just have invited people to their houses and burned money. Just, hey, I'm just going to light a bonfire with money here. Why don't we roast some sausages over a pile of money?
Oh my God.
So C.K.G. Billings, he moves out east so that he can pursue his love of horse racing. This is a rich person's hobby that I'm not into. So I don't need to go buy a racehorse. If any of our listeners want to email tips about how to possibly buy a racehorse, this is one I don't need to do.
No, you don't.
No. but because C.K.G. loved horses so much, his massive mansion that you can actually see the ruins of this. I've seen the ruins of this before, and you probably have too. They're in Fort Tryon Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can still see like some of the big stone outposts of this estate there.
Yeah.
It burned down in the early 1900s, but there's still some vestiges of it if you're hiking around Fort Tryon.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know.
Okay.
Next time I'm in Fort Tryon, which, you know, probably won't be for like, I don't know when I'm going to be there, but I will look for this.
But all right. Next time you're there.
Okay? Next time I'm there.
So CKG hires a very fancy architect, the same guy who designed the Supreme Courthouse in New York City, and asked him to build this massive estate, 250 feet over the Hudson River on the highest point of the land, just gorgeous, right? It's styled after a Louis the 14th. That's 14. I can't read Roman numerals. It's so funny. It's styled after a Louis XIV chateau. It's 25,000 square feet.
That is quite large.
It featured large. It's large. It featured a heated swimming pool. Now remember, this is 1901.
Wow. Okay. So yes. So not too many heated swimming pools around.
No. It had its own squash courts, a bowling alley.
Okay. Okay.
And a yacht landing.
Look, this is sounding like some of our billionaires' underground bunkers.
Exactly. Billionaires have been billionaireing for a long time, okay? Everything new is old.
Everything new is old.
There is nothing new under the sun, okay?
Oh my gosh.
Now, as we talked about, CKG loved his horses. So, as you can imagine, he built an insanely, insanely opulent stable.
Wow. Okay.
Now, the stable itself cost about $200,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was enough to park 20 horse carriages in. Something like 33 horses, and each of the stalls had its own brass plaque for the name of the horse.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It had its own gymnasium, a trophy room, a sleigh room, spaces just to lounge and think about horses.
Mm-hmm. Right, just relax.
You relax.
Just relax and contemplate horses.
You lean back and you think about horses. There were also living quarters for two whole families in these stables.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, the worst party of all time that we're going to talk about was to celebrate the opening of these stables.
Oh my God, what? I was not expecting that. I was like, okay, these stables sound interesting, but why is she dwelling on the stables?
Right? Why the stables? Why the stable story?
Why the stables?
Because this party was not to celebrate the opening of his massive estate, but just the stables.
Oh my God.
But I want to take a quick break here because
Okay.
Before we get into the party, which remember, what I imagine to be the worst party of all time. It's just, I want to leave you on the edge of your seats. Or rather, on the edge of your saddle.
Oh, Joe. But, all right, we'll be right back.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Have you heard this story before?
No, I've never heard of this person. Okay. Never heard the story of the stables. No. This is all new information for me. So, people listening, I am learning along with you.
I love that. But, you know, we're here. We are here to inform and teach. We are.
Yeah. It's true.
Okay. So, when we left you, CKG, very, very rich gentleman who loves horse racing, had just finished construction on his $200,000 stables. And in order to celebrate it, he decided to throw a $50,000 party.
Wow. Okay. So $50,000
in 15,000 dollars in, this is in 1903.
Sorry, 1903.
This is 1903. $50,000 in 1903 money, millions.
Millions, right?
Yeah, like, for sure. Now, he was going to throw the party in the stables. If you build stables like this, why wouldn't you want to show them off, right?
Right. Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Of course. But apparently, word leaked out, and he was worried about reporters and people sneaking in. So he decided to go to a more contained space for this party. Okay. So he rented out what sounds like one of the fanciest restaurants at the time. It is the restaurant created by the society caterer Louis Sherry. Have you heard of him before?
Mm-mm. No, I have not.
He had a 12-story restaurant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Filled with ballrooms. It was competing with Delmonico's at the time. The two of them.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The two of them were kind of going head to head. Right.
Okay. Yep.
So Louis Sherry and Delmonico's just kept like trying to one up each other. Right. It's like, well, I've got this ballroom. All right, fine. I'll double your ballrooms.
Sounds, Kind of kinky, if you know.
Kind of kinky. Yeah, you know. Okay, so I keep having to look up his initials. So CKG, or we could just call him Billings. Billings is such a good name for a millionaire.
It is. It's like almost two on the nose.
Well, so was Forrest Fenn. Okay,
that's true. Touche.
Touche.
Touche, Joe.
Touche. So. So Billings has decided to celebrate the opening of his super opulent stable by renting the Grand Rococo Ballroom on the fourth floor of Louis Sherry's 12-story restaurant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The fact that it's on the fourth floor will become important.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So he invites the 36 members of the equestrian club to come to this dinner. It's not a big party in terms of number of guests,
mm-hmm.
but it's a big party in terms of the party. Okay?
Ooh, okay.
Now, the ballroom was decorated to Billing's specs. He wanted it to be filled with sod on the floor. So
to evoke the stables,
to bring the outdoors in, It had to be filled with live birds flying around.
Okay.
And plenty of live plants, like lots of flora to compete with the fauna of the live birds. Remember, fourth floor of the 12-story restaurant we're on right now.
Fourth floor.
Okay. Got to get all that sod up. Got to get all those live birds up there. But that's not all they had to bring up to that ballroom.
Oh no. What did they bring up? Don't say horses.
Horses, Tori.
No! No, Joe, I was afraid you were going to say horses, and then you said horses.
Horses.
Oh no.
But it gets worse, okay? There were no tables at this dinner.
Okay. Where were people eating?
Do you want to guess?
On the floor?
Mm-mm.
On bales of hay?
Mm-mm.
On the horses?
Yes.
No! 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 No, Joe,
yes.
Why?
The guests were expected to get on top of these horses and all face one another.
Stop.
In a circle.
Stop. Yeah. What?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. The plates were actually.
Oh my God.
I know.
This is bananas.
The worst party of all time. The plates were actually connected to specially designed saddles.
Okay.
And the champagne, which was, they obviously, you serve very expensive champagne, but they had to drink it through straws that were connected to the saddlebags.
Wow. Okay.
Right? Right? No, this is not easy because you're not just going to get up and down off of your horse. So they needed a lot of staff to accommodate this dinner. They dressed up the waiters as horse grooms in scarlet coats and white breeches. Each horse rider had their own waiter.
Wow. Okay.
But, this is not a quickie dinner. This is a 14-course meal.
Oh, my God.
It featured lamb. There were guinea hens. There was something called flaming peaches.
I mean, that actually sounds kind of good, but not eaten on a horse.
But Dora, you're sitting on a horse. Yeah,
no, that's a hard no for me.
And while these were allegedly well-trained horses, don't forget that there's birds flying all over the place and people moving around Yes.
Joe, I had forgotten that there were birds flying all over the place.
I figured you had.
And because I was so focused on people sitting on horses trying to eat.
A 14-course meal.
Well, drinking through a straw.
Yeah, they did. So drinking champagne through a straw.
Drinking champagne, yes.
For 14 courses.
Right.
Yes. So these horses could get spooked, right? There's a lot of things that could spook a horse.
I would get spooked, and I'm not a horse.
They've already traveled up to the fourth floor of a townhouse.
Wow.
So there were also actual grooms. So there were the waiters who were dressed like horse grooms, and then actual grooms whose job was to just hold onto the horses' heads so that they didn't, you know, spook or buck or toss trays or, God forbid, the riders, the 36 guests of the equestrian club.
This is sad.
Yeah. But at the end of the dinner service, the horses did get their own very elaborately designed feeding troughs that were filled with oats so that they could eat as their riders enjoyed the end of their meal.
Wow.
Now, you might be wondering How did they get the horses up to the fourth floor of the ballroom?
I was wondering that.
That is not that complicated. Okay. There was a freight elevator at Lewis Sherry's 12-story restaurant. The 12-story restaurant keeps getting me. I'm like, 12 stories? Like, this is just the height of the Gilded Age, my friends. So they were taken up in the freight elevator, but then they also had to be taken back down in the freight elevator. And that took some time because you want the horses to leave, but like you can't have the people heading out at the same time as the horses. So they also hired an entire vaudeville troupe.
Oh my God. Okay. Please
to entertain the guests, who I imagine were quite squiffy at this point because mm-hmm. they've been drinking expensive champagne out of a straw attached to a saddlebag for 14 courses.
Okay, wait, Joe, I have a question.
Please ask.
What happened when the horses pooped?
This is such a great question, and this is what I have not been able to stop thinking about since I read about the story. Because, I mean, have you gone horseback riding, Dory?
No, but I'm not a horseback rider, but I've been in enough cities that have had police on horseback or seen, like in LA, in Griffith Park, you can ride a horse around, and like there's plenty of poop on those horse trails. Like, horses poop, and when horses poop, they poop a lot.
They poop a lot, and they poop and they pee. I grew up around horses.
Okay.
My mom grew up kind of fancy, like way fancier than I did. And then mm-hmm. she married my dad, who was kind of a deadbeat, but like she grew up fancy. Mm-hmm. So she grew up riding horses and she was like a champion jumper. She owned horses. That's how fancy she was.
Okay,
yeah.
So yes, she was fancy.
Yeah. So she used to take me horseback riding like to the local stable. We didn't own a horse when I was a kid. And so I've been around horses a lot. They poop and they pee so much. If you're going out for about an hour trail ride with a horse, they're gonna poop at least once and probably pee twice.
Okay.
And that's my expert equine knowledge here.
Oh my God. Okay.
There's a reason that ballroom was filled with sod. Makes it a little easier. I've been investigating this. I have not been able to find a solid answer. I'm assuming the many, many horse grooms who were in the room were also responsible for cleaning up poop and pee during the dinner. But imagine you're eating dinner and someone is just going to the bathroom beneath you.
Wow.
Like I said, the worst party of all time.
Uh-huh.
Worst party of all time. So finally the horses leave. There's a vaudeville show to entertain the clearly very intoxicated guests, but it's like, okay, pay no attention to these horses exiting through the freight elevator. There's a vaudeville performance.
My God.
Yes, yes. Now, there was actually a photographer who was hired to document the event. So there were some pictures that were released, and one of the society columnists at the time, Lucius Beebe, said, quote, "The photograph reinforced people's belief that New York socialites went to bed in full evening dress after brushing their teeth in champagne."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the party was notorious. And even at the time, people were grumbling, saying, like, that was the weirdest party anyone had ever attended.
Yeah, I mean, sounds pretty freaking weird.
Pretty freaking weird. And I have to say, I have been to some bad parties.
But not one where there was horse poop everywhere.
And like I said, I don't think that today's story will inspire anything, but I am planning my book party for the Sicilian Inheritance. And I'm like, how could I make it real weird?
You could make it real weird.
I could make it real weird. but I don't think that I could get away with bringing live horses into Buxer Magic in Brooklyn.
Although, you know, we could reach out to Emma. She is open to a lot of things.
She is. She is. So, I mean, if Emma is listening,
let us know.
Just how do you feel about me bringing some horses over there?
Joe, what are you thinking in terms of taking another break? Are you wrapping up? What is our...
I'm wrapping up. I'm wrapping up. But I want to... Can I show you a picture?
Yes, of course.
All right. I want to show you the picture of the ballroom and the men on horses. I need your reaction to this. Okay. Hold on. Just going to figure out how to attach it here into the chat.
You can also share your screen.
Oh, I'm going to share my screen. Okay. You ready?
Yep. I'm ready.
Okay. Can you see it now?
Or no, I have to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do you see the little button? Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you sent me this visual because this was not exactly what I was picturing. I don't really know what I was picturing now that I think about it, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. this is really something. It also seems to be all men.
I'm pretty sure it was all men. I could be wrong, but it looks like it's all men. They're all in tuxedos, by the way.
They are all in tuxedos.
And I think the most interesting thing about this picture, these are supposed to be equestrians, right? These are right. people who ride yes. horses. They each have a set of three stairs leading up to their individual horse, as if they can't just get into a saddle by themselves.
Right. Maybe that's because of the tuxedos.
Fair.
But
fair.
Yeah.
Maybe it's hard. Maybe it's hard to get on a horse in a top coat and tails.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, this was really special. Thank you.
It was,
for
right?
taking me on this horse-filled journey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Too Much Money is hosted by us, Dori Shafrir and Joe Piazza, and produced by us. And music is by Lisa Brenner, and our network partner is Acast. Again, email us at toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com. Let us know if you've been to a horse party like this.
Brilliant.
Bye.
Yay. That was a tight 30, friend.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.